The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Thanks for being with us. We are going to have Jeff Bowen on today. Jeff, the head football coach over at the NAIA Arizona Christian Firestorm. They made the NAIA playoffs. Love having Coach Bowen on. We're not going to go into too much football. I just want to know how he builds a program through faith, transfer portal, his thoughts on Virginia yesterday in mentoring and coaching young men. And a little bit about the playoffs and his journey. Really interesting guy. I think he does a great, great job over at Arizona Christian University, and they're going to the playoffs this week here in town. Fabs is with us. It's Tuesday, which means I've got to just give Michael Fabiano all the nonsense in the world about the Cowboys and how dreadful they were, and just make him miserable in this segment. And we have to talk about Cooper Kupp's injury and Deshaun Watson a little bit. As much as I would not touch him on my fantasy team, I know there's people that are like, yeah, I don't care. So Fabs is going to be with us. That comes up on today's show. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. As always, we appreciate their support. Watched the Suns game last night, sat in here and like, huh, they're not really getting the free throw line very much. And I'm not one of those guys that's like, see, the refs have it in for us. No, there's just times where you watch a game. And let's just be honest about this, okay? If you watch the game last night, fans will say, it had everything to do with the free throws. No, it didn't. The Suns' transition defense with about 5 minutes to go was dreadful. If you watch the game, okay, and I'll get to the free throw stuff in a minute, but if you watch the game, the Suns could not get through Miami's defense late in the game. Campaign finished at a minus 13, and it was a struggle. And I have to mention him because he's the guy replacing Chris Paul. And then they had Devin bring the ball up. Devin's exerting an awful lot of energy in mid-November. He's a young guy, but, you know, the free throw disadvantage for the Suns, they only shot four of them on the night. Four free throws in an NBA game. Like, I'm watching them. They're just getting pounded. They're just getting pushed all around. We're not going to call a thing. They swallowed the whistles. The Suns are one of those teams that do not get a lot of fouls called on them. They don't. They have a hard time getting to the free throw line. For whatever reason, the referees don't see anything in Phoenix that's wrong and they get beat on. Now, the good news is they finished their road trip, and yeah, it's back east, and yeah, they won one game, and Chris Paul didn't play, and you know, Cam Johnson's not there, and Jay Crowder's still sitting around, and we can fill reams of time and hours of time talking about what they should do with Jay Crowder. And I keep saying, why would you do anything with Jay Crowder in November? Jay Crowder, you need to look around, you know, get through the holidays when the games really start to matter and teams know what they're all about. And let's just see what the best offer is. It's out there. Unless you get completely blown away. So I'm not going to sit here and play this silly, stupid game of throwing names out of guys that are in fantasy world of, you know, we're not doing that. It's just, let's take some time here on Jay Crowder and see where it all plays out. They have Golden State here tomorrow night. Last time Golden State was here, Klay Thompson got thrown out. So there's actually something interesting tomorrow night for a November, mid-November game against the Warriors. Like, that's good. And they have Utah here on Friday night. So I watched that. I was talking to people yesterday whose opinions I respect and about Arizona State. So Arizona State University yesterday sent out evidently to some of their media or some of their web guys or friendly media or whatever that they have hired a search firm. Korn Ferry. It's fine. They've hired a search firm and I hear that and I go, let me think about this. So Herm left in September, and now Sean hasn't won games, and we're less than 14 days away from the regular season being over. Let's hire a search firm. And so the optics of this, because in the coaching community, in the college coaching community, the optics are not good. Like, Really? You waited all this time. If you're Sean Aguano, you're going to go out to practice and you're going to do your thing. And somebody has to ask him, hey, how do you feel about the university hiring a search firm yesterday? Now, do I really believe that yesterday was the day of let's go hire a search firm because we don't have anything together? At all with something university? Maybe. Optically, nobody can deny how bad this looks. Nobody. And it's have your stuff together. Have your bleep together. So Sean doesn't win, and now let's announce that we're going to go to search firm route. Okay. And I still can make an argument about Sean Aguano. My argument doesn't hold much water because they have not won. And there were some uncomfortable moments in the Washington State game that are going to happen to any coach when they are the head coach for the first time. So that was my first thought on this search firm deal. And that, you know, they say Sean Aguano is still under consideration. Of course they're going to say that. They're not going to say, well, no, he's not under consideration. What are they going to say? He's got to get through Oregon State. He's got to get through U of A. Sean Aguano, I think he's at a point where we're just talking about him, and then there's a new name that popped up yesterday on my radar. That's kind of an interesting name. In Sean Aguano's space, obviously winning is the biggest cure-all. Some of the big cigars that I've talked to want him to still be the coach because they actually understand that he's inherited a really bad job. It's a bad job right now. It's not a tough job. It's a bad job right now because you don't know the NCAA end result. You don't. And you don't know the future of your athletic director. You don't. And people can say, well, you know, ADs can come and go. No. I'm not talking about everybody else. I'm talking about right here in our little slice of heaven. The AD is under fire from the alumni base. The donor base is not happy. The guy that he brought in is no longer here to be the head coach. I mean, I just go right through the list. So anybody who's going to try and sugarcoat this and say, you're being really unfair. No, I'm not. I'm actually not being hard enough. And I don't think in town we've been hard enough on this situation. It's been so ridiculous. So all that was Sean, you know, if Sean beats Oregon State and Sean beats the U of A, and I think in both games are going to be underdogs, U of A is playing much better. For those of you that laughed and ha-ha'd on 70-7 and you put up billboards, this is what you're going to get, I believe. I don't think it's going to be, it's not 70-7, but U of A is the better program today. Jed Fish, for as many people that laughed about that hire, just look at where the two programs are in less than 2 years. Who has the better roster? Tucson. Who has the better skill talent? Now, I'll take Elijah Badger on my team all day long. And there's some other very good players, but facts are facts. Top to bottom roster. And the transfer portal is going to swing wide open because of the uncertainty here. There's going to be players that are going to go. There's more money elsewhere. Jaden Daniels' success is going to have people look around and say, maybe I should do the same thing, because they're dragging their feet on this, in my opinion. So Tom Herman's name came up yesterday from some people whose opinions I respect. We mentioned last week Jim Mora's name, Jim Mora Jr., because he has family that goes to Colorado. We had Wilner on yesterday. Wilner intimated that Colorado is further along in their search than ASU. I don't think anybody knows what ASU is going to do. I don't think ASU knows what they're going to do. And so, you know, Tom Herman's an interesting name in that he's 47. He's with the Bears right now, working on their staff. I had it written down here. He is a special projects offensive analyst with the Bears in the NFL. He's just hanging out. He was at Texas. He was at Houston. He's young. He is someone that's an interesting name. I don't know. I haven't called people that covered him or dug around on it. I have a life. I'm not going to sit here and just bury myself in this stuff. But when I have college coaches that said, you better look into Tom Herman, his name is swirling around ASU a little bit, I'm going to look into it. And sure enough, yeah, that's a name. It should be. There's probably 50 offensive analysts that are sitting out there saying, I could actually get back into the game. So it's a name. And I'm not going to sit here and throw every name out, because some of these names, it's, yeah, that's an agent's buddy who's trying to get that name circulated in Phoenix. I'm not going to take part in that. So that's where things are over at ASU. It's, look, Sean beats Oregon State, Sean beats U of A. Sean finds out on Sunday he's not the guy. Sean Aguano should probably be looking at other head coaching jobs, in my opinion. Like Sean, Sean wants to be a head coach. If Sean loves Arizona State more than anything, then yeah, he should be on the next step. I just don't think the next coach is going to say, I'm going to keep the interim. If Sean Aguano were like 65, I can see that. He's just going to be that guy that's on the sideline and hang out. Sean's young. He's got a taste of being a head coach, had a taste of how to run a program, hasn't had the resources to do it right, inherited a bad roster, inherited a culture that was lost and confused. Now, let's not forget, it's not like ASU waited till this time to blow Herm out, or Herm left, or however they want to spin it. Herm left before they even got to conference play. It's just, like, they knew. He knew, like, yeah, I think I just better move on. So now you hire a search firm, even though September, this has been going on since September. What does that tell you? And I'm always of the opinion that, like, Jerry Colangelo told me this once, and I believe it to be true to this day. Whenever a coach or a general manager would leave his teams, he would have, as he said, I'd put a piece of paper together, I'd put five names and five numbers of five people that I would have to replace them. And I put in my top drawer. If I had people that left Sports 360 AZ today, there are five people in my mind or written down with numbers and to say, you know what, we have an opening. That's how we are. If you have to go hire a search firm, I believe search firms kind of like media consultants. It's kind of a scam. It's kind of a scam. Like those who can do, those who can't consult. Not always. I do some consulting. I do. But I feel like if you got to hire a consultant and you're in mid-November and your season's over in 2 weeks, like, what's going on here exactly? So, you know, over on the Super Cardinals end, Zach Ertz's injury is bad. I mean, I joke about Super Cardinals because they're so mediocre and everybody gets all excited off of one game and, yeah, we got to have Colt McCoy be our quarterback. Really? I like Colt McCoy. It's great that he's here. He's a backup. You, by the way, you paid a ton of money to Kyler Murray and you're basically going to say a must-win game against San Francisco next week. He gets an extra day of rest. He was not ruled out until game time against the Rams. So does that mean that it was really that bad? You know, the Eno Benjamin release, pretty clear, he didn't fit into their game plan. Whenever, when in doing this for 30-plus years, when I get a press release emailed to me and it says, someone is no longer with the team, and that's it, it's just one line, that means it didn't go well. It just didn't go well. So it didn't go well. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm going to talk to Fabs about this if Eno gets picked up by somebody this week. All right, Jeff Bowen, what a great story. Right here in our own backyard, the head football coach at Arizona Christian University. They're going to the NAIA playoffs this week. How does he build a program? How does he get into coaching? Some of you watching this think you can coach. The journey that Jeff Bowen has taken is a pretty good journey. Built up a very good program. We'll have him on. And then Fabs on the Fantasy Football Focus. That's all straight ahead. The Iron Man is Jared Nielsen. Yesterday, he blew out another candle. He's got so many candles on his cake. He is old, man. Not as old as me, but he's old. He is the Iron Man. We appreciate him navigating us through this show. We're back with more after this timeout. All right, as promised, I love this story that's going on over at Arizona Christian University. Their head coach, Jeff Bowen, joins us, wrapping up his seventh season, and the Firestorm are heading to the playoffs. They are in this bracket where they're going to take on the number one seed, which, you know, it's fine. You're in the postseason, and it's coming up, and I wanted to have Coach Bowen on to talk about, I think, first, Jeff, your journey, one, to where you are in building this program from when you came over from Westview. And, you know, too, a little bit about where college athletics is coaching at your level at NAIA and what you're seeing, and, you know, about your team too. So thanks for jumping on with us for a couple of minutes.
Appreciate it. Yeah, it's a pleasure being with you, bro.
Let's just go through this year and looking ahead to the playoffs and they get started, and let the fans know what you're up against this week.
Well, Morningside is an outstanding football team. They've won 3 out of the last 4 NAIA national championships, and they're the Alabama of NAIA. They're just a quality football program. They do it the right way.
When you started this season, did you feel like you had a team? Because last year you had big success. Did you feel like you had a team that if the pieces came together, you'd be back here again? Is that the expectation now as you built this?
You know, what's funny is during the summer, we had our best summer workouts ever, and we felt really good coming into the season. And then during camp, we didn't publicize it. We didn't talk about it, but we had 9 guys go down during camp, all starters. And 4 of them never made it back on the offensive side of the ball. And we started out 1-2, 0-2 in the league, and it was not looking good. And, you know, I had my, I'm like, can we get this team to 500? And, the guys really rallied. They took ownership and where they were at, what they were doing. They didn't play the blame game. They got coached hard and said, let's get this thing going. And, they flipped the switch. You know, we went 7 straight. We beat Ottawa when they were ranked 7th in the country. And so we were playing better football. And then that the one magical weekend, you know, we're playing Texas College and we have a big win. It's, you know, 80-17 or something. I don't know. And then Ottawa got upset and Texas Wesleyan had a big loss to Louisiana Christian, and we're sitting on the buses going, guys, we're tied for first. We're back in this thing. And we won it down the stretch, ended up in a 3-way tie. And we got the tiebreaker in the polls and with the polls and with us in Ottawa being in the top 20, and we're dancing. So quite a turnaround for the guys. I couldn't be more proud of a team.
Jeff Bowen with us for a couple of minutes, head football coach at Arizona Christian University, the Firestorm heading to the postseason. Mentioned off the top, 7 years, and when you came to that program and Donnie Yantis was there and where it is now, is it where you thought it would be? If I were to say, look, Jeff, come here and you're going to have this, you're going to have to overcome this, is it where you thought it would be and where you want it to be?
I'll be real honest with you, Brad. I wasn't going to come with Donnie. I was worried about, you know, a startup program. I had no background in coaching college football. I mean, coaching's coaching. There's good coaches and bad coaches at every level, but I just didn't know what was going to happen. And really, my family talked it into it. Heather, my wife, and my kids are like, Dad, go do it. What else you got left to do in high school? Try it. I'm 27 years in the high school. I'm like, let's go try something. And this is a sad thing to say. Here's what it was.
Sure.
My wife looked at me and said, go do it. What's the worst that can happen? It flops and you can get another high school job. And I'm like, you know what? Why not try a new adventure? And we did it. And, you know, I got, you know, spent a year and a half with one of my best friends, with Donnie. And, you know, I think the best thing the university did was hire Donnie Yantis. I believe that with all my heart. And the reason is high school coaches are used to just doing things a lot of times from scratch, and you don't have resources and you just find a way to do it. Mm-hmm. And that was Donnie's mentality and mine too. In all the years I coached in high school, if you bring a college coach into a startup program, sometimes it's like, you know, where's all this, where's all the stuff, where's all the amenities, what are we going to do, where's my staff? Right. And we knew it wasn't going to be that way at ACU, and to start from scratch to where we are now on this beautiful new campus, and you know, fields going in and all the stuff, all the vision that Len Munsell had for the university and athletics is coming to fruition. And it's really cool.
How much of it has to do with faith? And I ask it in this way. So I had to meet with President Munsell. He asked me if I'd be interested in doing some play-by-play of your games in year 1 when Donnie was there. I have a faith, but he had to ask me straight up. So when you're wondering whether I should leave Westview and your wife is looking at you in the eye, I know faith is the first metric now when you're recruiting a player, but you had to look at your own faith, didn't you?
Without a doubt. I mean, You know, Heather and I prayed on it a lot. I met with my pastor, Bishop M.L. Moody, and we had a lot of talks about where it was. And one of the, you know, my family, but then my pastor looked at me and said, you know, Jeff, this is, you know, we all have our callings, and this is yours. This is the vision of something new, and this is a calling on your life to affect and impact young men in a different way, at a different level. And so that obviously played a huge part in it too. And he's been there in everything we've done. You know, you look at where the university was and where it is now. You don't go from a 17-acre campus to a 70-acre campus and not pay a dime unless God's involved in it. I'm sorry, whatever people want to say or whatever. The campus exchange with ASU and just everything that's happened has just been an amazing journey, and God is God's good, and you know, people ask me, well, you think God really cares about winning football games? And I'm like, I don't know. That's, if he is, he'll let me know. But I do know this. He cares about all of us that are in that game. So we're going to do it. We're going to put God first and try to keep football down the way. And that's our mantra here, faith, family, future, football. And we're going to try to keep it in that order.
When you see a tragedy like at Virginia, Jeff, and you're a coach, you are a man of faith, you're a coach, and you're looking out at your team, what goes through your mind?
I think about the six men that I've lost in my coaching career. You know, it's sad. It really is. It's not a football thing. It's a culture thing. It's an America thing. You know, I don't want to get all political or anything like that, but just our country in general, we were founded on the principles of faith. And I think the farther and farther we fall away from faith in this country, we're going to continue to see this. It's not about who's sitting in what office or whatever your agenda is. I truly believe that's the problem with us right now. We've fallen away from our faith, and we spend a lot of time blaming other things. It's such a sad thing that happened there. And I think about the six young men that have played for me over the years, that their lives were cut short through accidents, through suicide, through you know, drugs. I mean, I've lost six, and I don't want to lose a seven. Mm-hmm. And it just breaks my heart to see those type of things happen.
You know, you've built something here, and you've obviously credited the others, Donnie and President Munsell and your staff and all that stuff. But, you know, I was looking back on you. You went to ASU, you majored in biology, went up to NAU, then you get into coaching. You have a great run over at Westview. You're at ACU. Where did your football love come from through this journey, Jeff?
I've just always loved the game. I drew up my first playbook after watching Oklahoma play Arkansas in the Orange Bowl one year, and Arkansas, Lou Holtz had released a bunch of players, sent them all home because they messed up, and he had no chance to win the game, and they were running the wishbone, and a running back named Sales went on. I mean, I remember it today just like it's vivid, and I'm sitting there during the game, and I'm drawing up plays, and I took it out on the playground, and because in the old days, you know, you had bowl games on January 1st.
Yep.
School started January 2nd.
Yep.
So the next day I'm out there on the playground with my playbook, and we're running plays, and it's just always been in me. I wasn't a great football player by any stretch of the, I was a better basketball player than I ever was a football player. But it's always been a part of what I am, you know, for whatever reason.
When you sit across from parents and you, or a player, and you speak of your faith, have you ever had people just get up and walk out?
Once.
Have you had parents that have leaned into you a little bit further because they have things on their head and a kid?
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Our pastor, Randy Chambers, does a phenomenal job. And sometimes we get so fired up on our recruiting weekends with Randy, we do altar calls, and there are parents, grandparents, players accepting Christ at our recruiting visits. Hmm. And it's an amazing thing. And some of them come here because of that. And only once has a parent and child gotten up and left our recruiting weekend. And I tell the guys from the beginning, our recruiting approach is very different. I flat out tell them, if God wants you here, you're going to be here. If not, we're going to shake hands and wish you well wherever you go. But we don't, you know, recruiting can be such a stressful thing, and the pressures that are put on these young men to make decisions at any level, I think is just ridiculous where it's going now. And we take a totally different approach in our recruiting. We find really good football players, but we also find young men that want to have a Christ-centered education and grow in their faith. They're not all perfect. They're not all going to be pastors. I mean, we're a regular university with, you know, biology degrees and business degrees and all those kind of things. So, but there has to be something within them that they want to grow in their faith.
Have you had NIL conversations at the NAIA level?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. When it all first started, our linemen got all excited because they got an NIL. They got a local pizza place that was giving them pizzas one night a week. be on social media and talk about their pizza place. ACU's first NAIA deal. Our linemen got pizzas.
That's good. It is
crazy. You know, I guess I'm dating myself, and I don't think it's a good thing for sports. I don't think it's a good thing for college athletics. I get it. It's a real big business, but you just look at it right now. It's an arms race every year. And they're not building relationships. I don't see how you can build a relationship in 3 or 4 months with the kid before he decides to enter the portal and leave. Yeah. And you bring in another kid in the portal. I don't know. And we deal with our kids. I mean, we have kids that leave every year too.
Sure, sure. Don't you have the player at the NAI level that says, this isn't any disrespect, it's just a fact. I'm at NAIA, I should be at Division I. And I'm going to go play NAIA and I'm going to go put up numbers, or I'm going to go dominate the competition, but I have my eye on bolting out of here because I am going to go here. Doesn't that happen in your space?
It happens in their mind. It doesn't happen in reality. You know, I'm sorry, but Alabama or Georgia or Notre Dame, they're not scouring the NAI rosters looking for players to fill their roster. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one thing that the portal did. And I tell you what the portal also did, and you were seeing it, is it destroyed a large part of incoming freshman recruiting, because yeah, these kids – thinking they're going to go Division I, and if you know, whatever Division I, Power Five can get a sophomore out of the portal with playing experience at that level, that's the guy they're going to take. Other than, well, do we want to take a shot on offering this freshman kid? And that's happening a lot. You see it all over the place. So it's you know, and we talk to our guys about that. If you're coming here with a chip on your shoulder, you know, it because you didn't get yours, you're in the wrong frame of mind. Hmm. You know, we're about building a program, a team, a culture, and we're going to help you chase your dream. I mean, we've had kids in camps, and we had a young man that was with, you know, the practice squad with San Diego, the Chargers, several years back, and we got kids playing in the arena leagues. We have kids playing in Europe. So we're going to help you scratch that itch. You know, but let's be realistic. I mean, do your homework. There's a reason you got to have 4 years in the NFL before you're vested, because the average career only lasts 3.5.
Yep.
You know, and what are the statistics on the guys in the NFL that have filed bankruptcy? Some ridiculous number. You know, it's 80% or whatever. I don't know what it is, but they talk about that all the time. You know, chasing the dream and chasing the money is one thing, but what are you setting yourself up for when you're not playing the game? Because Brad, I know you and I aren't playing anymore, you know.
Why double knee replacement, Jeff?
Yeah, everybody stops playing at some point in time. So what are you going to do after? And we talk to our recruits about that and our players constantly. We work diligently to try to give them chances, pro days, all that kind of stuff. Let them chase their dreams, all-star games. But when it's all said and done, we want you to have the degree. And that's why our persistence rate here, guys that get to their senior year with us, We're almost at 90% graduation rate.
That's good stuff.
So if you stick around here, you're going to get your degree.
Jeff, good luck in the playoffs. Appreciate your time, and good luck. Thanks again.
Appreciate it, Brad. Anytime, buddy.
Good hearing from you. There's Jeff Bowen, head coach of the Firestorm over at Arizona Christian University at ACU. And we're back with more after this timeout.
Roll Storm.
Here now is Fabs, and it's always great to catch up with the Hall of Famer Michael Fabiano every week. SiriusXM Fantasy Dirt, SI.com. He's going to explain the Cowboys inside and out and their tremendous showing, and Dak's got it all figured out. Do you want to just start there, or do you want me to move on? I don't mean to rub it in, but...
It's fine. Listen, I mean...
Get your cowboy helmet.
I'm used to disappointment. I have many. I mean, which one do you want?
Go ahead and put it on. Go ahead and put it on for this segment.
It's not something I can put on.
Oh, you can't put that one on.
I can't put that one on.
Can you explain what's going on?
It's the Cowboys, man. I mean, like, listen, I know that disappointment is going to come, even though it looks like things are going our way. Ultimately, disappointment's going to... We're cursed at Lambeau. I don't know if it's like dating back to the Ice Bowl game. I mean, think about it.
You're cursed everywhere.
Dez catch that wasn't a catch. There was a couple of penalties in that game that were kind of And then Mike McCarthy deciding not to go for the field goal. We've had issues with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, I guess, for a long, long time. I liked it better when Favre was there because we used to beat up on Favre. Although, of course, that was the back in the good old days with the triplets and the dynasty. But from a fantasy perspective, Dak still had 19 points. Pollard went bananas. Lamb went off. Schultz looks like he's back in his 2021 form. So that's good. Mm-hmm. And the Eagles got beat, which is also good because the Cowboys are now only a couple of games behind them for first place. And who knows? I mean, Eagles, Giants, Cowboys, I mean, you're all in the mix there within two games of first place.
I have to wonder, Michael, okay? When I call you Michael, I'm being serious.
Okay.
You and I have talked through the years. How do you handle your team losing versus your fantasy players performing very well? Where is the balance? Do you throw?
I'd much rather the Cowboys win. If the Cowboys won that game and I got 3 points from CeeDee Lamb, well, it stinks that I got 3 points from CeeDee Lamb, but the Cowboys still won the game.
Okay.
So, unless the Cowboys are not playing for anything, it's a late season game, say they haven't made the postseason and they're not going to, and I need some points from some of my Dallas Cowboys, maybe I root for my fantasy team a little bit more, but typically I'm rooting for the Cowboys.
Okay, and the mailbag is filled with Cooper Kupp questions, and some of them are really smart because what we know today is what Adam Schefter had that I read, unless you being the Hall of Famer, you may know more, 4 to 6, 8 weeks, something like that. So if we're looking at the calendar, if it's 4 weeks, that means he would be eligible for postseason in fantasy, right?
Yep.
So do you go to the team in your league that has Cooper Kupp and say, I'll make a trade for him?
You could certainly do that and lowball them because you don't want to give up too much. The Rams are done, though, Brad. Like, they're done. They're not making the postseason.
Right.
My little birds have been chirping about the Rams all season long. There's issues within that locker room, within the organization. I wouldn't be shocked if Sean McVay decided, I'm going to go make millions on TV after the season. They're a team that won the Super Bowl. They sort of accomplished the goal that they wanted to, and now they're in big trouble. The whole Stafford concussion thing was really odd to me, too. Like, I get it. A player can all of a sudden show signs of a concussion and get put into the protocol. It was just kind of strange. I don't know if he's playing this week against New Orleans. I will say this. The Saints defense is probably a pretty good play from a fantasy perspective. But I wouldn't be totally against lowballing someone. But also keep in mind, you can't lowball them that much because it's the best wide receiver in fantasy football. And if he doesn't come back, well, then you traded him for nothing. And I'm not saying that would be the case, but say in 4 weeks, I mean, the Rams they're already out of it as far as I'm concerned. But I mean, if they lose three of their next four games, why even bring them back? Right. I mean, like at that point, the season's lost. So it's a risk. I like to take risks with trades. Mm-hmm. It would really have to be a deal that I feel comfortable with, though, in terms of what I'm giving up to get him.
Yeah.
And in terms of what the Rams are going to have to do now. Well, Van Jefferson is going to be a hot ad off the waiver wire because there's not going to be Cooper Kupp in the mix here for the next 4 weeks or somewhere in that area. There's not one running back you can play on that team. You can maybe play Higbee, even with John Wolford if he's the quarterback. But the Rams have really gone from a team that was loaded and was a very fantasy-friendly team, especially what we thought was going to be a fantasy-friendly team coming into 2022, to a team that has maybe one or two players that you can start with Cooper Kupp being out.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. You don't want to cause a hole by going and getting Cooper Kupp. But if you have a fourth wide receiver who's sitting there and you can go grab him, if, and you may know more, Michael, is it 4 weeks? Is it six? Is it eight?
High ankles typically are four.
Right. And
so,
go ahead.
So that's sort of the timeline that, I mean, I'm not a doctor. I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn last night. So I'm just guessing based on what I know from high ankle sprains. They take a month. Now, some guys come back quicker than others. We'll see. I don't know that the Rams want to bring him back too quickly, though. Think about it. Why? They're not going to the postseason. This is not a good team. It's not as much talent as they had. They won the Super Bowl. They're not a good team this season.
Okay. Colt McCoy, getting questions about that. And over here, what's it going to look like against San Francisco next week? Is Kyler going to be brought back? Should Kyler be brought back? Should Colt McCoy be the guy? Kyler with his hamstring, $150 million. Kyler on Monday Night Football. To me, it points towards Kyler. What do you see? What do you hear? Colt McCoy is an option later in the week.
The good news is that Kyler's going to get an extra day to get healthy. Hamstrings can be tough.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he was a game-time decision, so it wasn't like he was declared out early last week. And from a fantasy perspective, I'm not playing Colt McCoy against the 49ers unless I'm in a 2QB league and I'm completely desperate. But the bigger news, I think, is Zach Ertz being out.
Yep.
And can Trey McBride step into that role? I don't know that he can. He'll be a waiver wire ad this week. But Nuke is going to continue to get peppered with targets. And Rondell Moore's been really good the last 3 weeks. And I got to tell you, the last couple of games, the matchups have not been good for him, and he has still thrived. Now, I think last week, with Stafford being out and Ertz getting hurt, that changed the whole dynamic. And Hollywood Brown, from what I'm hearing, could be back here sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm. So if you've got Rondell Moore, you may want to try to sell high on him right now, because if Hollywood comes back, obviously he's going to be third in the pecking order for the targets. And then another move that was kind of strange was, you know, the move that the Cardinals made to get rid of Eno.
Right.
Because, like, Eno, I mean, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but, like, he actually wasn't bad when Connor got hurt. And Darrell Williams has been banged up. I guess they're going to go with Keontae Ingram in the backfield behind James Conner.
Yeah, so Eno is one of those that, as we sit here on Tuesday and chop it up, I think Eno is going to land somewhere later this week.
I would think so. He's a good player.
It was playing time was the issue, and he was told he wasn't going to be part of the game plan the night before the game. And so when a team puts out Eno Benjamin's no longer with the team in a one-line release, then it got pretty heated, and they just said, okay, see.
I would guess so, yeah. Yeah, so it had to be something behind the scenes for sure.
I'm looking at Eno saying, okay, where's he going to land? That's one of those guys I've got on my radar. A lot of questions from the mailbag about Jameis Winston. Andy Dalton's time done in New Orleans. Is Jameis Winston a guy to add at quarterback with all the beat-up guys? We talk about it every week.
Speculative ad, sure. I don't know that he is guaranteed to take that starting job away. The last I heard, Andy Dalton was still the starter.
Okay.
So making a speculative ad makes sense if you're in a 2QB league especially. But there are other quarterbacks this week that if you're hurting, you could pick up. Like Daniel Jones could be floating around out there. Matt Ryan was really good last week. And I said this on Twitter and on my show. I said, don't be surprised if Matt Ryan takes the majority of the snaps and the Colts win. Matt Ryan took the majority of the snaps and the Colts won. So sometimes, you know, you get the blind squirrel that finds a nut. But Matt Ryan's got a bad matchup this week, but you could do worse. So he's going to be out there. And hey, folks, and I know what this guy was accused of doing and probably did was dastardly. And Deshaun Watson's got one more game on a suspension, and he's coming back against Houston. So, like, Deshaun Watson, if you can make some sort of decision at quarterback for this week, if you don't have like an elite type guy, play a matchup and all the Jimmy Garoppolo against the Cardinals this week, maybe. And all of a sudden, like Watson, now I'm not saying he's going to be a league player. He hadn't played football in a long time. But there's going to be some motivation against the Texans. Their defense is not great against the run, and we know Deshaun can run with the football. That's a guy that, as long as you personally are okay with having him on your fantasy football team, which you got to take that into account.
Yep, yep.
He may help you get to the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, Baker Mayfield sitting out there against Baltimore, I wouldn't touch him.
Oh, he's, I'm starting the Ravens defense because of that, not Baker.
Yeah, I mean, over on the Chargers side of things, so where we talk about Herbert every week, but he has not had Mike Williams. He's not had Keenan Allen. I'm getting questions in the mailbag. Is there any news on that front with the Charger receivers, Michael?
So the last I heard is that Williams and Allen could get back to practice this week, which would be great news for the Chargers. They're going to need them because they got the Chiefs. And the, you know, Atlanta is a bad defense, and Herbert couldn't put up a good line against them. Mm-hmm. And last week against the Niners, really good defense, couldn't put up a good line. I tweeted something out, and it just tells you how bananas this season has been. Debo, Justin Herbert, not must starts anymore. Debo, I don't know what. And listen, I will give you a little sneak peek into my show later in the week. I'm going to go on a rant about what in the world the Niners are doing with Christian McCaffrey. You trade all that draft capital to bring in a dude and put him in a committee?
Yeah.
I mean, Elijah Mitchell had more carries. Anyway, I'm not going to get into it. But
No, it's fair. I've got Ayuk up there in San Francisco,
he's been good.
And he's been good. He's been better.
Yeah, he's been better than Debo.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's weird because, like, last year we were all pining for Ayuk, and we didn't really see Debo as a guy who would break out. Debo broke out. Ayuk was not nearly as good. This year, everyone drafted Debo. Debo hasn't been as good. Ayuk is having a better season. It's you know, mass hysteria, right? I mean, this is what we've been dealing with all season long. But back to the Chargers, really the only player that you can trust right now is Austin Eckler. That's it. Gerald Everett got banged up last week. I do like Josh Palmer against the Chiefs if he's the number one wide receiver.
Yeah, you know, I agree
with that. But the Chargers are hoping that Williams and Allen are back this week, and so are fantasy managers. Keenan Allen, I don't know why they put him on the injured reserve list. The guy's been just sitting out there on the active roster every week and he can't play. Very strange.
Okay, two other players. I picked up Rashad White early in the season. The guy I'm with was yelling at me. He's like, he's not playing.
Good idea. Look, he's smart.
Now he's playing. So Rashad White over Leonard Fournette because Fournette's dinged up. And then
They have a bye though this week. Yeah. So like that's going to give Fournette extra time to heal up. And from what I've heard, he's going to be okay for their next game. But White started the game in Germany. He rushed for over 100 yards. He looked good. Mm-hmm. And so with the Buccaneers offense being what it is, like in the passing game, it's still not there, right? I mean, Godwin had a good game. Evans did not. Brady's starting to look better. You know, maybe he's starting to put a little of this personal stuff sort of in the past now that it's over. I don't know. He's looked better lately. The offensive line still has question marks, but in terms of the pass protection, but if they could run the ball like that, that's huge.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the Buccaneers have not been a team that's run the ball very successfully this year. And Rashad White gave him a spark against Seattle. He really did. And so is he going to take over the job and be the number one? Like as a featured number one? No. I mean, Fournette's a good player. He's going to get his. But now this is a committee. And so Rashad White's going to be a startable asset as a flex moving forward.
Another question out of the mailbag. Anything on Mark Andrews?
Mark Andrews, I have not heard anything on him at this point. My expectation is that he will be back this week. The good news is that the Ravens have an early window game. They play at 1 o'clock against Carolina. And Isaiah Likely probably got cut in a lot of leagues after he had one touchdown, but only that one catch against New Orleans. And then he was on a bye. So he could have gotten released. So if you have Mark Andrews, it's a strange handcuff situation with a tight end, but you may want to go there. I feel like the Ravens sat him out last week, so they gave him an extra week so he can be ready for the Panthers game. But you got to keep tabs on his injury report status. Of course, it's only Tuesday.
Right. Anything else out there you're looking ahead to this weekend that catches your eye that you're excited about or stay away from?
Well, first off, Cowboys-Vikings. Like, I mean, that could be not only the best game of the week, but a really good fantasy game too. Justin Jefferson against CeeDee Lamb, Dak against Kirk Cousins, Dalvin Cook against Zeke and Pollard. There could be a lot of points scored in that. Hockenson against Schultz. Dalton Schultz kind of looks like the 2021 version. So, I mean, for me, that's what I'm certainly most excited about, without question. But it also would be nice to get some of these big-name players back. Like I said, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, really be nice to get those guys in our starting lineups from a fantasy perspective. Hopefully that will be the case. But with waiver wires running overnight in a lot of leagues, I will tell you right now, if you need a quarterback and you're okay with it, go get Deshaun Watson right now. And do not overlook Isaiah Pacheco if he's out there too. Mm. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you could cut him. He got no touches last week. Like, the Chiefs are done with him, apparently. McKinnon had like six catches. Pacheco got all the carries. Clyde, and they're playing the Chargers this week. I think I might be actually going to that game, which would be fun. But I would not have any problem cutting Clyde Edwards-Helaire. His usage has gone to nothing. So Pacheco is a guy that if you're in a less competitive league, he could be floating around out there. Probably not. But don't be afraid to go out and get him. He's going to be a nice sleeper this weekend.
Let's kick off that. Appreciate your time as always, Michael. Thanks.
Take care, my friend.
There is the Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano. You can hear him on SiriusXM Fantasy Dirt, SI.com. He is the Hall of Famer. And we're back with more after this time out.